Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, September 11th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
President Robert Mugabe rearranges his cabinet for the third time this year, appointing ministers, analysts say, strengthened Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa's position as heir apparent.
At the moment, it is unclear whether or not that this is Mugabe's intention, but it seems to me as though he's moving in that direction, given that we've heard from the First Lady and from Mnangagwa himself that Mugabe may not be around for a very long time.
Tendai Biti's People's Democratic Party ends its inaugural Congress with the promises to join hands with other opposition forces seeking to dislodge President Robert Mugabe's ruling ZANU-PF from power.
The biggest challenge for every Zimbabwean right now is, number one, how do we get out of this danger? How do we get out of this prison brought about by 35 years of ZANU-PF misrule?
And the United States today marks the 14th anniversary of September 11th terrorist attacks by Al-Qaeda, which left nearly 3,000 people dead.
These and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Zimbabwe's new kid on the political block, the People's Democratic Party's inaugural Congress, ended in Harare today, with the party saying it will enter its coalition with other opposition parties and form broad alliances as it seeks to dislodge President Robert Mugabe's ruling ZANU-PF from power. Patricia Mudadigwa reports.
Ladies and gentlemen, your president, duly elected Tendai L. Biti.
Speaking at the end of the Congress, newly elected People's Democratic leader Tendai Biti, whose party was until this week known as MDC Renewal, committed to transform Zimbabwe, citing the PDP's unique strength and niche.
We are very strong as a movement in terms of ideas and policies. You've seen the policies that we've written and crafted, arrest, hope. We are already right now, as I'm speaking, crafting a 40-year vision for Zimbabwe called Ideas. So we will occupy that niche so that we can give ideas to the opposition movement that can take our country forward.
The PDP leader said you would work with any party willing to be part of a broad coalition to help break ZANU-PF's 35-year rule and influence.
The biggest challenge for every Zimbabwean right now is, number one, how do we get out of this danger? How do we get out of this prison brought about by 35 years of ZANU-PF misrule? To me, it's very simple. We have to come together as Zimbabweans. There has to be convergence. We have to come together as opposition political parties. So we will strive to ensure that that coalition will be built.
Biti said his party will work to improve the lives of ordinary Zimbabweans by revamping the economy through its holistic program for economic transformation, hope, and agenda for the restoration and rehabilitation of electoral sustainability arrest adopted at the Congress. This resonated with Delegate Munetsi Tinei.
From what we have heard from this hope document, what we have read in it, it is starting to bring back hope that this country will be restored again economically, and there's an issue of employment I've seen in it, which is so bright.
However, despite his ambitious plans and reception by some, not all delegates were happy with the Congress outcome, particularly the nominations of candidates, which included the appointment of Samuel Sipepangomo as vice president, Lucia Matibenga and Wachisibanda as chair and vice chair, respectively, Gordon Moyes, the secretary general, Solomon Madzore as organizing secretary, and Jacob Mafume as party spokesperson. Youth wing groups from Manicaland, Mashingo, Mashonaland West, Bulawayo and Matabeleland raised objections to the oversight given to members from their provinces for some top posts. Thomas Mukweyo from Manicaland, for example, cited the treasury position given to Benson Tini, which he felt should have gone to his deputy Julius Magara Mombe.
His position is not fair and free. He was at first appointed as a committee member, then he appoints as a vice treasurer instead of treasurer. So that was the situation we are not loving.
To calm the crowd, the party's vice president, Pepa Ngomo, promised to look into their grievances.
Appeal both to Manicaland and the Maswingo and the youth in Matabeleland. Please give the new leadership a chance. We will resolve the issues.
The PDP ended with the adoption of a new constitution which stipulates that all party leaders will be elected and not automatically nominated to represent the party in elections, that all leaders will declare their assets and consent to an audit. All members will also be subjected to a two-term limit. The PDP also resolved to work with all African nations and organizations on the continent as well as the international community. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
For perspective on the likely impact by the People's Democratic Party, reporter Ntungamili Nkomo reached political analyst Blessing Vava.
I think when we are looking at the leadership that has been elected this Congress, there hasn't been any major surprise, because if you look at most of the individuals, if not three quarters of the individuals that have been elected in this leadership are people already that have been in the interim leadership of the MDC renewal. So there hasn't been any surprise to talk about, and there is nothing new that we can expect from the people that have been elected, because they have been there since 1999 when the MDC was formed. Most of the characters who are occupying the leadership have been there before in the MDCT and in the MDC led by Professor Washimenuwe.
In other words, you are saying that there is no impact that this party brings about.
I think their greatest undoing, they've noticed that this Congress has failed to attract any serious media attention. I think it has been swallowed by the manifesto that was launched by the People First, being fronted by exiled Zanu-PF Vice President Joyce Mujuru. And I don't think there is much that we can expect from the renewal team. And also, basing on the numbers that they've been getting from the meetings, the rallies that they've been holding across the country, they've really failed to attract the numbers for us to take them seriously.
Political analyst Blessing Vava on the line with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo from Harare. Meanwhile, the Tsvangirai MDC will tomorrow celebrate its 16th anniversary at Narira Business Center in Chivu. This year's celebrations are being held under the theme MDC at 16, determining the defining moment.
Still with politics, another Washman Ncube-led MDC official, Lionel Dineka, who is a former Gwanda mayor and secretary of local government for the party, has resigned from the MDC, citing failure by the party leadership to reach out to grassroots level since its defeat in the 2013 elections, amongst other reasons. Party spokesman Kuraone Chiwai, who recently took over from Joshua Mhambi, who resigned from the party, acknowledged receiving a resignation letter from Dineka today, but pointed out that the allegations are not true, adding that the party is too involved in preparing for the 2018 elections to worry about baseless allegations. However, Dineka tells reporter Standakile Mhlanga that MDC leader Washman Ncube has failed as a leader, and he surpasses the party's National Executive Council in favor of the standing committee whose members were not elected when making party decisions.
The party is not where it's supposed to be. It is desperate for leadership renewal. There is no energy. There is no direction. The party is not meeting regularly as the constitution, and so when you have something like that happening over and over again, you find out that the result is people leaving, key people leaving from the party.
We spoke to the MDC leadership, who say you should have raised these issues when you were still in the party. Why are you revealing this now when you are leaving?
I revealed them at the right time. I'm not there to supervise leadership renewal or leadership change in MDC. I'm not standing to benefit as other people who point out leadership change and then hope to gain something from it when the change comes. But the truth had to be said that there needs to be leadership change if the party hopes to survive or gain anything in 2018.
In your resignation letter, you state that many MDC members are afraid to tell the truth. Why do you think this is so?
It's the type of leadership that the party has been degenerated to. First was a very inclusive, open party where people who expressed their views, who could stand and say things and correct things and condemn certain actions. But right now you have everyone singing basically the same song. It was funny because we were quick to point at President Mugabe when the country is going down. We say it is leadership. We need to be frank with ourselves. If we can do that at a national level, we should be able to do that at a party level.
That was Lionel Dineka, former Gwanda mayor and secretary of local government in the Washman Ngube-led MDC, on the line from Gwanda.
President Robert Mugabe today reshuffled his cabinet for the third time this year, bringing in 14 new people and creating two additional ministries in his already bloated government. Our presidential correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
President Mugabe today swore in three full ministers and 10 deputy ministers at a ceremony conducted at State House.
Whereas in terms of Section 104, now therefore I, Robert Gabriel Mugabe, President of the Republic of Zimbabwe, do hereby call upon you all to take the oaths as prescribed by law.
ZANU-PF Parliamentary Chief Whip Joram Gumbo was appointed the new Transport Minister, taking over from Obed Mpofu, who has been reassigned to the Economic Planning Ministry. Mpofu replaces Simon Kayamoyo, who is now the Minister of State in the President's office, responsible for policy coordination. Mberengwa East legislator Makosini Shlongwane was appointed Minister without portfolio, while Abednego Ncube was appointed Rural Development Minister. Mr. Mugabe's nephew, Patrick Juwao, was appointed the new minister responsible for youth, indigenization and empowerment, taking over from Christopher Mushowe, who has been appointed Minister of Information. Gumbo said he was happy to be appointed by Mr. Mugabe, said there were three focus areas that the president said he should work on.
I will take the plans from the 10-point plan that the president enunciated when he addressed the parliament. And I've specifically been told by the president that I have to look at, you know, three areas: railways, air transport, and the situation of our roads. He did emphasize that some of our roads are becoming like they are themselves a death point. So I will be looking at that.
Tapiwa Matangaidze, who was appointed Deputy Labour Minister, said his brief was, among other issues, to deal with ghost workers that are reportedly draining the national fiscus.
You find that the ministry I'm going to be deputizing in, there are a lot of topical issues there. Corruption, we're going to hit on corruption. Yes, you know that right now there are some ghost workers who are there, and that has to be cleaned up, and we'll be supporting the ministry in that regard.
Shlongwane said his brief is to ensure that the 10-point plan announced by President Robert Mugabe during his State of the Nation address was implemented in full. The plan was criticized by some economists and the main opposition movement for democratic change.
Well, if you look at the 10-point plan as announced,
commenting on the reshuffle, political analyst Nkulele Kosibanda with Huddersfield University in the United Kingdom said Mr. Mugabe may be trying to strengthen Minister Mnangagwa's hand in the ZANU-PF succession battle.
It is not clear whether or not Mugabe intends to strengthen Mnangagwa's hand, but I think that because we don't know the present state of his health. If it is the case that his health is taking a knock, then perhaps he has very limited choice to groom yet another successor who will have as much interest in protecting Mugabe's history as his own. And I think that most of the things that Mugabe could have been accused of had he come out of power while he was still alive would still apply to Mnangagwa. Therefore, there is a 50% chance that Mnangagwa is Mugabe's choice, but also that then Mugabe has to balance that with the possibility of a Mnangagwa succession causing a much more serious split within ZANU-PF. And at the moment, it is unclear whether or not that this is Mugabe's intention, but it seems to me as though he's moving in that direction, given that we've heard from the First Lady and from Mnangagwa himself that Mugabe may not be around for a very long time.
And in terms of the bloatedness of the cabinet itself, looking at Zimbabwe and its financial status, what do you make of these appointments?
I think that certainly the size of the cabinet indicates that Mugabe wants to once again build a much stronger coalition or a much stronger group of people who feel that they have a stake in ZANU-PF, given that there were some people who went out together at around about the same time as Mainjuru. But I think what is very indicative and what is certainly instructing about this the cabinet reshuffle itself or the appointments themselves and the timing is that they come soon after Mujuru announced her own new policy, if you like. And I think that this is meant by President Mugabe to ensure that none of these people who now have been included in the cabinet will be wooed by Mujuru on to her side. So I think that this part of a strategy really to slow down any possibility of Mujuru re-rising while at the same time strengthening ZANU-PF from the weaknesses it has suffered in the last few months.
That was political analyst Nkulele Kosibanda with Huddersfield University in the United Kingdom speaking with Studio 7 Sandra Nyaira.
And now a look at regional and international news. U.S. Vice President Joe Biden said in an emotional interview he's not sure whether he's ready to launch a presidential campaign after the recent death of his son.
And the Cuban government says it will pardon and release more than 3,500 prisoners to mark Pope Francis' visit to the island this month, the largest amnesty since the 1959 revolution led by Fidel Castro that established communist rule in Cuba.
Officials in Burundi say the head of the army has survived an assassination attempt in the capital, Bujumbura.
The United States today marks the 14th anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks by al-Qaeda, which left nearly 3,000 people dead, including 19 of the perpetrators who hijacked four commercial airplanes. Several observers were held across the country in remembrance of the day when the four airplanes carried out suicide attacks on the U.S. Two of the planes were flown into the World Trade Center in New York, another hit the Pentagon, and a fourth crashed in a field in Shankville, Pennsylvania, before reaching its likely target of Washington. Families of victims in New York were this evening expected together for a ceremony with tolling bells and a reading of names of those killed in the terrorist attacks. Some Zimbabweans living in the United States say they sympathize with families of people who died in the terrorist attacks. Gibbs Dube spoke with Andrew Chaponda, a Zimbabwean who lives in Kalamazoo, Michigan, on the 9/11 attacks and how they changed life here and abroad.
September 11 basically did change the world from what it was before then to what it is now. A lot of things have happened in terms of how nation states deal and reflect all a number of issues that not only affect them as nations, but how they deal with other global players. It's no longer only just nation states, but they are also non-state actors who are actually influencing the way nations behave and do and approach the issues in their own country. As an example here, the U.S., where I currently reside, is a country that is basically ubiquitous. Everybody knows that there is the U.S. The U.S. domestic policy and its foreign policy does have implications, not only in Zimbabwe, my country of birth, but across the whole world. So 9/11, from my own perspective, has really changed the way not only the U.S., but the whole world actually looks at themselves. So it is a very important day in the history of the U.S. and of the world.
Looking at issues to do with global security, do you feel safe in this world today?
For me, as an individual who is actually in the U.S., where the individual rights are respected at the national level, I feel very safe. I don't think the same can be applied to my countrymen who are in Zimbabwe.
That was Andrew Chaponda of Kalamazoo, Michigan, United States, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube.
Studio 7 also reached the ZANU-PF Central Committee member and lawmaker Joseph Chuma, who says Zimbabweans should strive to promote global peace in the wake of the emergence of terrorist groups like ISIS and others.
America, as well as the government, really now need to look a little seriously and say, are we doing the right thing when we talk about democracy? Are we cutting it in real terms? When we look at such kind of reflection, we then sit down and ask ourselves, are we doing enough as a people, are we doing enough as government to protect and uphold what we normally talk about and preach about and probably cry about? Are we doing it in practice in real life? Because that September 11 attack was so unnecessary, it could have been avoided. If people had been able to listen to each other, sit down as normal human beings, they've been given enough sense to be able to talk to each other, to come up to a round table and agree at times, even to disagree amicably, without then having to end up going to such extremities.
There are some Zimbabweans who are living in the USA who believe that the security situation back home is not too good. So they are saying that Zimbabwe, you should actually try to improve the situation there because they fear for their lives. At the end of the day, they are saying that it does not differ with that kind of terrorism. What is your take on that?
There's nobody who is targeting anybody. Everyone is free. Here we all walk freely. We don't have guns that are just spread all over. We've got strict laws and we've got a good police force that makes sure that whoever has a gun must account for it.
That was Joseph Chuma, a ZANU-PF Central Committee member and lawmaker, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Harare.
Creator of the media platform 263 Chat, Nigel Magamu, says he intends to learn as much as possible about new media and related issues during his stay in the United States. The Zimbabwean youth is currently in the United States on the International Visitor Leadership Program, sponsored by the U.S. State Department. The leadership program aims to strengthen the U.S. engagement with countries around the world while cultivating relationships with current and emerging foreign leaders. Mugamu speaks with Satenda Gumbo on the issue.
Ours is focused on social media and how to engage citizens. And obviously that's the kind of work that we do back home in Zimbabwe. We were here currently here in D.C. right now. Tomorrow we leave for New York. From New York, we'll go to Denver, I think it is, and then to San Francisco. And the trip is essentially, will allow us to meet different people who use social media. For example, in New York, we'll meet guys from Slate and Wall Street Journal. And of course, today we're going to Voice of America.
And you yourself, of course, are the creator of 263 Chat, which began on the social media front, but of course, by now has emerged into something bigger. Tell us more about what you're doing on the ground in Zimbabwe with 263 Chat.
Yeah, it's I'm passionate about the Zimbabwean and African narrative. We always say this and we always hear about this, you know. Africans, the Zimbabweans, you know, whatever, we need to tell our story. And what started off just as a Twitter handle and a hashtag has soon evolved into a media organization. We host events and where we try to get, policymakers and various organizations from civic society and in the private sector. Sometimes we even get government officials just into a room with ordinary Zimbabweans just so we could sort of discuss and talk about what's happening and exchange ideas.
That was creator and founder of Media 263 Chat, Nigel Mugamu, speaking to Studio 7 here in Washington, D.C.
Tune in Sunday for the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo, where Mugamu explains the expansion of 263 Chat from a Twitter hashtag to a full media house.
And in sports news, the Casolaga Premier Soccer League title race could take another dimension this weekend. A reporter, Michael Cariati, tells us why.
The results of the much-talked-about game between On Fire FC Platinum and defending champions Dynamos at Mandava Stadium tomorrow could set the tone for the remainder of the Casolaga Premier Soccer League title race. A draw between the two sides will give an advantage to leaders Chicken Inn, who could extend their lead to 6 points, as they have a seemingly lucrative home tie against struggling ZPC Kariba. A win for Dynamos will see their lead over FC Platinum extend to 4 points, which would throw Kugona Kunenge Kudada out of the race. A victory for FC Platinum will see them leapfrog Dynamos into second position, 2 points above the defending champions, which could turn the race into a fierce battle between the three top teams. Dynamos coach Tondera Indiraya admits that the game will not be easy, but says as the champions, they need to beat their strongest challengers to justify their billing.
It's going to be a very tough assignment, but we've got to take it head on. This is football. We are Dynamos. We've got to be very strong if we want to stay with the top teams there at the top. I think my guys will fight very hard, and perhaps we can get a result there.
However, my travel coach Gishon Tini believes Kugona Kunenge Kudada are on a roll, saying Dynamos will not withstand the FC Platinum firepower, and offers his prediction in favor of the home side.
I think 2-1 is going to be the final scoreline outside.
The two teams have also been drawn to meet in the quarterfinals of the Chibuku Super Cup on September 18. But Dimbare treasurer Webster Marechera is cautious about the knockout tournament encounter following the draw conducted in Gweru yesterday.
The draw was fair, but what I can say is that so we have to be cautious.
Leaders Chicken Inn are happy to be playing against Zambwa struggling ZPC Kariba, and for that matter, at home. Although Chizambwa says he is happy at Katuruturu, he is open enough to say it has not been easy working with a team that was assembled by another coach. While the Gamecocks are way at the top of the table on 43 points, far above Dynamos, the same cannot be said of ZPC Kariba, who are on 21 points, just 3 points above Flame Lily, who occupy the fourth relegation position. Chizambwa, however, is to be warned that Zimbabwe football family will not look at when he started work at ZPC should the team be relegated. Instead, they will say he led the team to relegation. The other appetizing tie on the menu is the one at Rufaro Stadium tomorrow between 5th-placed Harare City and 9th-placed Highlanders. Highlanders have struggled throughout the season, and a new coach in the former Kofsmas Sano Zulu has taken over to try to change the fortunes following the sacking of Pongani Mafu. Whether you'll be able to wave that magic hand against the under-fire Taurai Mangwiro is something else. The other matches on the weekend menu are as follows: Capes United vs. Buffaloes, Wawa vs. Triangle, Longo vs. Chapungu, Cholocho vs. Aumain. Cholocho Pirates coach Lizwe Skweskwe says they are going out for 3 points, although they will still be comfortable in picking up 1 point, the same as Flame Lily and Wawa. The three are just 1 point above bottom-placed Dongo Saw Mills. Meanwhile, swimmer Kirsty Coventry last night continued with her brilliant performance at the Africa Games after adding a gold and a bronze to Zimbabwe's medal standings. Coventry, who on Monday won a gold in the 100-meter backstroke, won a gold in the 200-meter individual medley before adding a bronze in the 400-meter mixed medley. This adds to 3 the medals Coventry has won for Zimbabwe, which puts Zimbabwe in 9th position overall on the medal standings. Coventry is this evening competing in her last event, the 200-meter backstroke. But the same cannot be said of the young warriors who are out of the competition after their successive 1-0 loss, this time not to Burkina Faso, but to Sudan. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
That's our broadcast this evening. I'm Jonga Kandemire.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye, saying good night.